Big Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco, sports director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clements, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their community dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. There's a new federal approach to handling bird flu. Mike Moen reports.
Last week, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins released a five-pronged strategy and $1 billion investment to keep avian flu in check and reduce rising egg prices. The new measures focus largely on fixing on-farm biosecurity gaps, as well as push for a new poultry vaccine. Megan Davis with Johns Hopkins University says it's encouraging, but she worries about the lack of specifics in pivoting away from current methods of handling infected birds where farmers depopulate their flocks.
Our current quarantine and stamping out policy's been in place for quite some time. There's a reason it exists. These birds get really sick, so their animal welfare issues are not going to recover.
The federal move comes at a chaotic time for avian flu response. Under the Trump administration's federal spending crackdown, several key bird flu workers were fired by the USDA, and the department is now struggling to rehire them. Davis says the U.S. lags behind other countries with collaborative teams of experts to holistically assess outbreaks. She warns a patchwork investment won't make up for huge federal workforce losses of key researchers.
I have major concerns moving forward that we will not have good eyes on this virus, and that if it would, heaven forbid, start to really develop a human-to-human transmission chain, then that's a huge step down that path towards pandemic.
In the past 30 days alone, the virus has infected more than 107 flocks nationally, affecting nearly 13 million birds, that according to the USDA. So far, 70 people have been infected, and one person has died from avian flu in the U.S.
That's Mike Moen reporting, and I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
The Brewers get the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers beat the Seattle Mariners 7-5 in Cactus League action. Christian Yelich, coming off back surgery, delivered a home run.
Each year you feel different, or your swing's a little bit different, and you just have to prepare yourself with what you got that year and make it the best version of, you know, yourself, and go compete and see what happens.
Up next, the Brewers face the Cubs. NFL free agency, Packers signing two players, 49ers offensive guard Aaron Banks, 6'5", 325 pounds. It's a four-year deal worth $77 million. He'll play left guard. Elton Jenkins will move to center. Josh Myers is a free agent. On defense, the Packers adding defensive back Nate Hobbs from the Raiders, a four-year contract worth $48 million, $16 million guaranteed. The Packers losing T.J. Slayton to the Bengals, the defensive lineman getting a two-year deal worth just over $15 million. Bucks on the road tonight in Indy against the Pacers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This Civic Media station is currently broadcasting the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks over the air. Due to streaming restrictions, we can't provide you the broadcast here. You can find an affiliated station at civicmedia.us to find the game over the air. We'll also have updates on the game and the biggest sports news from Mike Clements daily on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
We're airing a game right now, but stay here on the stream for more civic media news, talk, and more.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to us all. Thank you for listening. You can be a big part. As always, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board. Some sound today. We got some good sound today. We're going to play for you fine folks. We have Attorney General Josh Call. You know, when he was elected, he beat Brad Schimel, I believe, right?
That's Yes, in 2018.
Yeah, so he has some opinions on the guy who wants to become the next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. Certainly going to go there as well. Also, Angela Lang, Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, BLOC. She's going to join us at 5 o'clock. She had a piece out at the recombobulation area at Civic Media talking about how these Supreme Court races have evolved over time. A little history with Angela. We're going to go there as well. Love it when Angela comes around. Looking forward to her in the happy hour, 5 o'clock, with Ms. Angela Lang. And of course, just the seesaw back and forth of whatever is going on here with this. President Trump was out there selling cars today in the White House lawn, man. Feeling very bad for Elon since, you know, Tesla's...
He's been treated very, very badly by some people who just don't see him as a patriot.
Illegal boycotts. What are you even
illegal
talking about?
Illegal boycotts. I
the guy, Donald,
how is a boycott illegal? How is not buying something?
You must purchase a Tesla. Anyway, so yes, Donald Trump publicly stating how concerned he was that the Tesla stock has dropped 45% since the beginning of the year.
Well, why doesn't he personally subsidize it?
You're right. Go ahead. What do they call them? The swastika cars. Say that. I know it's terrible. Donald Trump's out there selling cars today. But the story, of course, is we led yesterday, and we're going to go there again today. Closing bell. Markets having another rough day. Mm-hmm. And I know we've had this discussion. You know, when does the economy become, you know, this administration's economy? When does it practically? Not when Donald Trump's, you know, continues to, when he'll ever stop complaining about it. He won't.
Never.
But practically speaking, and I think we're certainly there. If the actions or inaction by a president is literally impacting the market that day, if the government firings are literally impacting job loss for the month, which they are right now, and they didn't so much last month, but they certainly will this month. Well, I think, as they used to say around the campfire, if you smelt it, you dealt it. And I think this is now certainly at this time of Donald Trump's making. This is the Trump session, the Trump administration's market as it stands right now. If you think I'm wrong, you know, tell me what your criteria is, how you measure, how you gauge. I give you mine, give me yours, 855-752-4842. CNBC is now reporting the S&P slid in a head-spinning day for traders as they digested new tariffs proposed by Donald Trump that were still in flux as of Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah.
No, the market's closed, too. Now, after the close, apparently, before the close, market, so Trump putting these tariffs on, mm-hmm. on Canada mm-hmm. and all this, and then a Ford from Ontario responded because, you know, they sell, like, you know, electricity to some states, you know.
Indeed.
Put a tariff on that, and all Trump freaked out about it. So instead of the 25, I'm going to raise it to 50. Mm-hmm. I see a 25, I'm going to raise you 50. So he goes to 50%, and everyone, very blustery. Well, apparently, they had a conversation, they're going to negotiate, and Trump will... He rescinded now the 25%. Still going to be at 25, but
correct.
Not the 50.
Right.
Right. So it was at 25. That was set up weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Then just randomly, oh, I'm mad. So it's another 25. And this reminds me of the attitude of Dr. Evil when he wants his money.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
$100 billion. Everyone's laughing. Wait, this is 1950. We don't even have that kind of money. You know, it's just because he just throws numbers out there. And why 50? I mean, if you're going to go back, why not 100?
Mm-hmm.
Why not 1,000%? I mean, a bazillion percent tariff.
Mm-hmm. If you're going to tariff it, tariff
it. That's what I'm saying. If you're going to rescind it anyway,
yeah.
may as well really go to the edge.
Right. We want to shake things up. Let's really commit to the bit.
That's what I'm saying, man. Come on. Stop being a wuss about it, Trump. As CNBC continues, the trade policy uncertainty has brought the benchmark, again, the S&P 500, to the brink of a correction, which is defined as a decline of 10% from its high. Now, the S&P ended its session 0.76% lower. At its low of Tuesday's session, the index was below the record 10% below the record close. So it did dip into that 10%, mm-hmm. that correction area, but some buying pulled it out of that, but still very close. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 1.14%. The NASDAQ down 0.18%. The S&P 500 was in the green at one point during the trading session before Trump declared on True Social that Canadian steel and aluminum duties would double to 50% from 25%, effective Wednesday, starting Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
The president made the move in response to, of course, Ontario Premier Doug Ford's surcharge on electricity imported to the States, as we mentioned. Later in the day, Ford said he was temporarily suspending the 25% surcharge, Canada's 25% surcharge mm-hmm. on the electricity exported to the U.S. Ford has suspended that as well after talking with Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick. Shortly before the close of trading, Trump indicated he may reduce the tariffs on Canada, which apparently he did do. This is the latest in a series of disorderly trade policy moves that have rattled corporate and consumer confidence and weighed on markets over the past 3 weeks. CNBC. It's a nice way to put it. Disorderly trade policy.
Disorderly trade policy. That makes it sound so like there's a plan. Trade policy implies
50%, 25%,
plan, not
50%,
throwing things at a 100%, wall.
100%. 1 billion percent. I did do a little bit of the checking out the finance.yahoo.com. I like their interface on the markets. Looking back over the last month. According to Yahoo Finance, the Dow over the last month is down over 7%. The S&P 500 over the last month is down over 8%. The NASDAQ over the last month is down 11.24%. The Russell is down over the last month 11.55%.
Wow.
That's over the last month.
Mm-hmm.
This is the mega economy. This is at least the mega market. So let's put it that way. I think we're going to see some inflation numbers coming out this week. And, of course, we'll see continued reports as the time goes on.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this, when you were looking around, mm-hmm. was this a continued slide? Was this something that was already happening in the months before? Or is this new?
Oh, no, it's new.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's new. You can tell by the chart. So, I'm going to do it right now while we're doing this here. As we look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average. So, you know, the 5 days down 2.5%. The 1 month, as mentioned, down 7.09%. Year-to-date, down 2.6%. 1 year? The 1 year, mm-hmm. year over year, up 6.87%.
Oh.
So when you throw mm-hmm. in, you know, some of the better
sure,
growth
sure,
in
sure,
the past,
sure, sure.
The 5 year up 75%.
Oh wow!
So these are very definite, specific, you know, and it's, again, this I don't know what else to tell you. This is entirely because of the actions of this erratic president. MSNBC, you know, certainly consider the source, Steve Benham reporting. Throughout the 2020 presidential election, Trump repeatedly delivered a scary warning to the electorate. If elected, Joe Biden would cause an economic collapse. The incumbent's demagoguery wasn't based on anything real or substantive. He just hoped to scare voters into reelecting him. I guess it worked. In fact, with just a couple of weeks remaining before Election Day, the two major party nominees faced off in their final debate, which included rather specific predictions. "They say the stock market will rule if I'm elected," Trump said. "If he's elected, the stock market will crash." As it turns out, the Republicans had the right concerns, but the wrong presidents. The major Wall Street index has fared quite well throughout Biden's term in the White House, which at least so far is not the case for his successor. We know what happened yesterday. We talked about it quite a bit. As Benin goes on, "To be sure, markets can fluctuate for all sorts of reasons, many of which are often outside the control of any one administration." Certainly. "But that's precisely what makes the latest downturn so politically potent. It's easy to draw a straight line between stock market turmoil and Trump's agenda and his public rhetoric. Indeed, the major indexes sink. No credible observers are seriously making the argument that slides are unrelated to the White House, that this slide is unrelated. No one's saying that. Everyone seems to understand exactly who and what is responsible for significant losses. In this game of Clue, it was the president in the awful Oval Office with his trade tariffs and layoffs.
Easiest game ever.
Right. "What's remarkable is that there's hardly any real news driving this," Paul Krugman said. "It's just investors belatedly realizing that Trump is who he is and always was." Asked last week about market losses, the president blamed globalist countries and globalists who see how rich our country is going to be and they don't like it. That was gibberish at the time, and it's noticeably worse now. And stepping back, the problem isn't just that Trump is responsible for market instability. It's also the fact that he promised to deliver the opposite results. Well, give him time. You know, maybe it spreads out over time.
Right. Just give him time to settle in. Well, find his footing. Where did I hear that? All right. Right. That was 8 years ago.
When markets soared during Biden's presidency, the Republicans repeatedly insisted that was the major indexes were only up because investors expected Trump to return to the White House. It was part of a broader push, Trump told Americans, to see the stock market as one true metric that mattered more than any other. Yeah,
how's
right?
How's that working out?
Before his inauguration, the president vowed a Wall Street boom, as NBC reported. The rhetorical push continued as his second term got underway. This is what he said at an investor conference on February 19th, not quite a month ago. When President Trump wanted to make the case for his first term success in an interview last month, he turned to the stock market, quote, "I was very proud to have handed over the country when the stock market was higher than it was previous to the pandemic coming in. It was an amazing achievement." And in his second term, he promised the trend would continue. Quote, "The stock market is going to be great," he told the crowd. Just 18 days after declaring that the stock market is going to be great, Trump appeared on Fox News and said, quote, "Can't really watch the stock market." If the Republican is counting on the public not to notice the contradiction, he's likely to be disappointed. Yeah, man, I'm not great. And there, as Krugman points out, what's the other news? I mean, some good news, apparently. Perhaps Ukraine coming to the table, wanting to do a deal. That'd be great, right? Everyone wants that. Wouldn't that help the markets, right? If you're thinking, no, this is just Donald Trump being Donald Trump. 50%, 25%, 50%, 0%. We'll negotiate. We'll see what happens. Nobody likes that. Oh, by the way, the one good side, the VIX over the last month, up 68%. The volatility index, that's where your money should be. But don't take it from me. 855-752-4842.
Download the free Civic Media app today at civicmedia.us. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
The conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? The right question now is, can Europe build a new table?
Mm.
And I think that's where they are. February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, I think, a pretty key date.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Congressman Mark Pocan.
Already, people can't get appointments as easily at the VA hospitals. Already, farmers aren't getting their grants. Federal employees are losing their jobs. And this is just the real-life ramifications of what's happening.
If you can't convey the impact of these cuts, the people that are getting bad information are just going to think he's just cutting wasteful spending.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
News, talk, community, and local sports. Thanks for listening to Civic Media.
Dom Salvia Show. Welcome. You can join us on the lines 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Angela Lang, Executive Director of Block, going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Hope you stick around for that. Right now, we're kind of reviewing the closing bell. Markets having a tough time today, but as mentioned before, the break, the VIX, the volatility index, up over the last 30 days, 68%. Man, you know, of course we should have seen that coming, right?
I'm
going to do the go back in
one
time.
One of the most volatile people ever taking the reins of the country. Yeah, not there.
VIX down today, though, however. So that was down. So it was over 70% before today.
Quite a bit yesterday. So
just a little bit more of the reporting here also from NBC News. Trump made the stock market a marker of success. Now he's hedging as markets dip. And I want to reiterate this because we've heard Trump talk all the time, all the time, all the time. Today he's saying, oh, you know, markets go up and go down. It'll be an adjustment, whatever. But, you know, it's amazing when the news benefits him. I mean, this is him, but politicians, but we're talking about Trump right now. So it's him. Oh, mm-hmm. It's all the greatest thing. It's because, you know, it's because of Trump. Well, is it? Is this then because of Trump? Do you take the losses as well as the wins? No, of course not. Shannon Pettypiece reported at NBC. This was from last night after a very, very tough day in the markets last night. When Trump wanted to make the case for his first term success, he turned to the stock market. Quote, I'm very proud to have handed over the country when the stock market was higher than it was previous to the pandemic coming in. It was an amazing achievement. Then he said again, the stock market is going to be great. But of course, we know what happened yesterday. After stocks began a downward spiral the last week on fears of Trump's use of tariffs will tip the United States into a recession, his tone has changed. You can't really watch the stock market, Trump said in an interview that aired on Sunday. If you look at China, they have a 100-year perspective. We have a quarter. We go by quarters. So, I'm very proud.
Watch the markets. Don't watch the markets. Tariffs. No tariffs.
Of course, we talked about yesterday, but I haven't seen this one. Yesterday, the stocks sank further, erasing all their gains since Trump's election. That's going back to November. S&P had its worst day since September, and shares of technology companies were among the hardest hit as the NASDAQ had its biggest one-day drop since 22. Now, the NASDAQ lost $1 trillion in value yesterday. Now, none of the more than two dozen posts on Trump's Truth Social account Monday addressed the market sell-off. A White House official downplayed the market moves in a statement to reporters. Here's what the spokesman said. Since President Trump was elected, industry leaders have responded to President Trump's America First economic agenda of tariffs, deregulation, and unleashing of American energy with trillions in investment commitments that will create thousands of new jobs. President Trump delivered historic job, wage, and investment growth in his first term and is set to do so again in his second term.
Gee, I must have missed that one.
Yeah, so just don't watch the headlines. Don't watch the news right now.
Don't watch the news. Don't watch the markets. Don't look at what's happening. Great advice.
There's no reason to fear. Everything's fine. Remain calm. Kevin Bacon in an Animal House. Remain calm. The White House cited several surveys showing improved confidence among business leaders.
Who ran those surveys?
Though the surveys were conducted before Trump imposed tariffs on Canada and Mexico last week.
Small detail.
I know I failed the class this semester, but I got a B last semester.
So can you just carry it over?
Right. Yeah. After Trump's first term, he frequently used the stock market like an EKG tracking the health of his presidency with posts like this. Stock market at all-time high. That doesn't just happen, exclamation point. At rallies, he would often cite the market and talk about workers thanking him for making them rich because their stock portfolios were doing so well.
What was that when the big, strong men with tears in their eyes come out? Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. President.
Manly men. While the stock market had its ups and downs during Trump's first term, including a dramatic fall at the start of the pandemic, it was largely on an upward trajectory, with the S&P 500 index increasing nearly 70% during Trump's first term. The market continued its overall rise during President Joe Biden's time in office. On the eve of Trump's inauguration, when the S&P was up around 3% since the election, he referred to the increase in stocks, along with other improvements in the economy, as the Trump effect. The Trump effect on the eve of his inauguration, as things were going up. It's the Trump effect.
It's the Trump effect.
Are we still having the Trump effect?
I do think so. I do think this is the Trump effect.
Everyone is calling it, and I don't want to say this is too braggadocious, but I'll say it anyway. The Trump effect. It's you. You're the effect, he said to the rally of supporters. Since the election, the stock market has surged and small business optimism has soared to record 41 points to a 39-year high. Bitcoin has shattered one record high after another. But as Trump's policies have begun to take shape in his first 50 days in office, some of that optimism from investors has reversed course. The decline in markets accelerated last week when Trump carried through on the threat to impose that 25% tariff on Canada and Mexico, two of America's closest trading partners, and another 10% on China. We know this. While now Trump backed off of many of the Canada and Mexico tariffs days later, the levies remained on many products, and he reiterated that more tariffs were coming in April. On Monday, China imposed retaliatory tariffs on a variety of U.S. agricultural products, while Ontario's premier announced the province would begin charging 25% more for electricity to 1.5 million Americans. Now, that was reported yesterday. The premier Ford has backed off of that, as Trump has backed off, and apparently they're going to start talking. And this whole Canada, and it's bullying Canada to become a state. If you heard Trump today, we don't have the sound, but, you know, trust me on this, when he was selling cars in the White House lawn with Elon Musk. He was saying that, well, you know, we can avoid this whole thing if Canada becomes a 51st state.
They become our 51st cherished state. All the tariffs will go away.
And Canada's very clear about them not wanting to do that at all. I mean, they just elected a new prime minister. They're not having it. The premier of Ontario, he's not having it. Ford, he's not having it. People don't. That's not something Canada
is
looking for.
It's not on their radar.
And at the end of the day, and I've heard some of the Canadian folks get interviewed. If this is a continuation of the USMCA, which was a renegotiated NAFTA, this was done under Donald Trump. We are right now. Donald Trump is raging over the way we are doing business under the terms of the USMCA, which would dictate by Donald Trump how we do business. How about just, you know, go back to the negotiating table and hammer it out? You did it last time. What is the point of all this? Oh, but the VIX was up 68%. Wonder if they had any idea who's playing that long game. Come back with us, 855-752-4842. Going to turn to the state of Wisconsin and what's going on here. Stick around.
Thanks for listening. Your spot for local sports coverage is Civic Media.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. There's a new federal approach to handling bird flu. Mike Moen reports.
Last week, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins released a five-pronged strategy and $1 billion investment to keep avian flu in check and reduce rising egg prices. The new measures focus largely on fixing on-farm biosecurity gaps, as well as push for a new poultry vaccine. Megan Davis with Johns Hopkins University says it's encouraging, but she worries about the lack of specifics in pivoting away from current methods of handling infected birds where farmers depopulate their flocks.
Our current quarantine and stamping out policy has been in place for quite some time. There's a reason it exists. These birds get really sick, so their animal welfare issues are not going to recover.
The federal move comes at a chaotic time for avian flu response. Under the Trump administration's federal spending crackdown, several key bird flu workers were fired by the USDA, and the department is now struggling to rehire them. Davis says the U.S. lags behind other countries with collaborative teams of experts to holistically assess outbreaks. She warns a patchwork investment won't make up for huge federal workforce losses of key researchers.
I have major concerns moving forward that we will not have good eyes on this virus, and that if it would, heaven forbid, start to really develop a human-to-human transmission chain, then that's a huge step down that path towards pandemic.
In the past 30 days alone, the virus has infected more than 107 flocks nationally, affecting nearly 13 million birds, that according to the USDA. So far, 70 people have been infected, and one person has died from avian flu in the U.S.
That's Mike Moen reporting, and I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. New releases in theaters this past weekend all seemed to limp to the finish line for different reasons. Acclaimed director Bong Joon-ho's new film, Mickey 17, did finish first at the box office with $19 million, but that was a bit of a disappointment. The film starring Robert Pattinson cost almost $120 million to make and is not expected to recoup. This was the director's first big studio budget after winning a Best Director Oscar for Parasite 5 years ago. The other new releases were Rule Breakers, which got excellent reviews from critics and even better from audiences, but brought in just $1.5 million at the box office on over 2,000 screens. In the Lost Lands, starring Mila Jovovich and David Bautista, stunk up theaters with barely over $1 million at the gate and terrible reviews. Captain America managed to hang on to the number two slot, followed by Last Breath, The Monkey, and Paddington in Peru, which finished in fifth place. Tough week. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media is your spot for sports. From updates on your favorite teams, live broadcasts of the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, and Bucks, and local sports coverage in your community, we've got everything you need. Find a station near you at civicmedia.us or download the free app today. We'll have more news and talk coming up here on Civic Media's stream.
Matt Nair on air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong. Just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future.
Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Just PS working hard on the board. See you folks texting in, but you know we take the callers. Love the callers, but let's hit to some of the texters. You know, maybe it's the topic. You know, numbers are so boring. But it's good to know. Just remember, because you remember how Donald Trump always and always, always, always compared everything to the market.
Right.
And now when the market goes south, don't look at the market.
Don't look at the market. Don't pay attention.
Back, if it goes back up, and it will go back up eventually, he'll be like, it's the Trump effect.
But this, what's happening now, this is also significantly.
Biden. Oh. It's no. All because of Barack Obama and the damn tan suit. The suit. Can you believe?
Doomed us all.
He wore a tan suit, and now the markets are dropping like mad today.
I liked that tan suit.
He wore it well.
Yeah.
Some of the texters, Mark, I think he's referring to the action in the market today. Sounds a lot like SpaceX's unscheduled rocket disassembly.
Oh, yeah. That was the, what was it, disorganized planning?
Oh, is that what it was?
I think yeah. So, yeah.
You got a new word for it?
Yeah.
Versus my stuff just blew up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds more professional that way. Unscheduled rocket disassembly. Len from Madison. Deflation good except when it involves the stock market? Well, it depends on how you're playing it, Len. You know, if you're betting it's going down, then you did pretty good this last month. What else we got? Why aren't the Dems calling it a zippy name? Like the Trump tariff tank. Ooh, I like that. Got to name these things. It's not the Trump effect. It's the Trump tariff tank. The Trump session, as folks are saying. And we heard a lot yesterday about stagflation. Not just me. These are all the business mags and all those really smart business folks that really want to make money. You know, that's what they're there for. And these kinds of games that that President Donald Trump is playing is certainly having an impact on how people perceive the market to be. And, you know, perception can become reality. You know, if people are concerned about a recession and they stop spending, well, you know, consumer spending drives this economy. You know, we're not
right.
And then throw on, you know, the variables of things that we cannot control, like Donald Trump. And then, you know, God forbid, something else goes on around the world that could be bad. Well, man, those things can happen. Certainly concerning times. And this is the Donald Trump economy. Ed points out from Madison, on Joe Biden's inauguration day on January 20th of 21, the Dow closed at almost 31,000. Friday, January 17th, 2025, was the last business market day of Biden's presidency. It closed at 43,487. Today, the Dow closed at 41,433, down 2,000 in less than 2 months. This is a total self-own by Trump, Ed from Madison points out. And again, I think you're absolutely right. This could be avoided, at least to some degree. And as Krugman points out, there's no other news driving this other than the chaos in Donald Trump's White House. That's what's driving it. Now, we have some inflation numbers, I think, coming out tomorrow. And my understanding, not going to be terrible. Consumer Price Index for February is forecast to show an increase of 0.3% for a broad array of goods and services on an annual basis. They'll put the headline inflation at 2.9 and core inflation at 3.2%, moving lower but still above the Fed's 2% target. Now, if that comes in, that's good, right?
We certainly do
need
want
some good news,
right?
But that's good. It's not great. It's not bad. It's better than what it could be, but it could be better, right?
It's not going to be helped by the chaos.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I that's kind of a neutral, you know, I think, variable that's going to come out tomorrow. Now, you know, what happens in the future, of course, we don't know, and that we'll wait to see that. But these are the kinds of things, and we start getting perhaps, you know, earnings season will start coming out after the first quarter. We'll see how that goes. As mentioned yesterday, Walmart's saying that they're going to be down. We had the Fed in Atlanta, you know, expecting a 2.8% retraction in the first quarter. Those are things that will certainly impact. And these self-owns, this effort by Donald Trump, because he's doing the tit for tat. And again, there's no reason for this. He renegotiated NAFTA into the USMCA. And this is the environment in which we are now conducting our trade with our most beloved trading partners. And he's got a problem with it. But this is under your deal, man. You signed this deal. I get it. You want to change it now? Okay, then bring everyone to the table and renegotiate it and do that stuff out of the light, out of the public, man. You don't need to do it this way.
And it doesn't need to be on a whim. Because right. When the leader of the country is making these decisions on a whim, people get jittery.
Yes. Yes.
They get spooked.
There are consequences, even if it's coming from any president, even this guy. Allie from Madison, she wonders, if Canada becomes a state, do we get universal health care? You know, maybe, because Canada's pretty liberal, and if Canada, I mean, it could go that way, but, I mean, there'd never be another Republican president again. I'm just saying. So, well, careful what you wish for, Trump.
Right, how many electoral votes would they get? But I think it's more likely that they would lose their universal health care rather than us gaining it.
Well,
would they get states' rights?
They get states' rights, and then if they
what happened to their tax rates?
Well, if they come in and they have, yeah. how many you know legislators do they get? Right? How are they allocated? If it's allocated like it is here, they'd help the Dems take over, and then presumably we could get to that point with President Bernie Sanders. 855-752-4842. Caller, please see you. Be patient. We'll get to you in just a moment. Let's see here. Tom from Jackson says, I was going to buy an SUV, but I have changed my mind now, saving my pennies. Yeah, man. You know, that's the concern of people starting to pull back. And it's justified, you know, if you're concerned, you think there's going to be a recession, there's going to be less money in the future. Well, people start to hang on. They start to save. And that's a good defensive move. You get it. It's proper. If you think some bad times are coming. But again, it doesn't have to be this way. Donald Trump could do his business in a different manner. Like when he negotiated and renegotiated NAFTA, I don't recall, and maybe I wasn't paying attention, or maybe I'd have to go back and look, but I don't recall this kind of public pressure and back and forth when that negotiation was going on. I don't recall that. If I'm wrong, tell me. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Hoosier Bob, you are up. Happy days, Bob. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom. How are you?
Good.
Listening to you talk about his pronouncements on the economy and what he's going to do, I want to play poker with him. I want to sit down across the table with a deck of 52 that no one's ever touched, and I want to play poker with this clown. I thought Western Union had gone out of business until he started telegraphing. You can sit there and read the messages, man. If you can't make money off him playing poker, then you don't deserve to pick up a deck of cards.
Thank you, Hoosier Bob. Appreciate that. I think Matt Rothschild might have some interest in that as well. I'll get a couple of folks together, play some poker with the man. I tend to agree. I don't know that there's, you know, four-dimensional chess going on with this guy. I think it's an easier explanation for me would be just straight up corruption or playing the VIX and they're trying to make some money. The constant banter about making America wealthy again, you know, imposing tariffs on other on goods coming in from other countries makes the goods here cost more, right?
Right.
So if I buy an iPhone for $500 and there's a 100% tariff on it, it's going to cost me $1,000 now.
Uh-huh.
Right? Is that how that works? That seems, so it's inflationary pressure, and that money's paid when it comes in. It's paid at the broker at the border.
And there's been constant disinformation coming from this administration about what tariffs are. We had the press secretary today trying to assert that somehow, some way, tariffs are a tax cut.
Tax cuts! So I want to be clear here. So my $500 iPhone, which is now $1,000, that's a tax cut. Because my math said that that's an increase of $500 out of my pocket, not a tax cut.
And we do have some sound of this if you want to take a listen.
Yes, if you would, please.
Absolutely.
Jess.
This is AP reporter Josh Josh, asking a question at the press conference today.
If we could just step back for a second. When President Trump last addressed the BRT when he was on the campaign trail, his big push was on tax cuts.
Mm-hmm.
He's going there today as he's proposing tax hikes in the form of tariffs.
Not
true. And I'm curious he's prioritizing that over the tax cuts.
He's actually not implementing tax hikes. Tariffs are a tax hike on foreign countries that, again, have been ripping us off. Tariffs are a tax cut for the American people.
What?
And the president is a staunch advocate of tax cuts. As you know, he campaigned on no taxes on tips, no taxes on overtime, no taxes on Social Security benefits. He is committed to all three of those things, and he expects Congress to pass them later this year.
I'm sorry, have you ever paid a tariff? Because I have. They don't get charged on foreign companies. They get charged on the importers.
And ultimately, when we have fair and balanced trade, which the American people have not seen.
Is that it? We got any more? Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, because it went on to say she was very, very hurt.
Oh,
that
yeah.
He was challenging. Yeah. Apparently, she felt that question. Hey, have you ever paid a tariff? Felt that question was challenging whether or not she understands economics.
Oh, you know what?
I was like,
We do got that.
We do have. Because
this year, wages will go up and our country will be made wealthy again. And I think it's insulting that you're trying to test my knowledge of economics and the decisions that this president has made. I'm now regret giving a question to the Associated Press.
Forgot about that a little bit.
Oh, you're so mad that someone calls you on your BS. A tariff is not a tax on a foreign government. If General Motors has a plant in Mexico, General Motors is bringing, you know, it goes back and forth apparently lots of times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that the government of Mexico isn't paying that. That's not coming out of Mexican government taxes. I mean, that's GM. They're importing
the
vehicle.
That's an American tax.
And then ultimately gets passed on to the consumer. It is not a tax on the government. It's not a pet tax on the importer. In this case, in my example, is General Motors. And General Motors then is not going to eat that. They're not going to eat that. They're going to pass it along in the form of an increase in cost. Now, is it a tax as a tax is concerned, as we would normally call it? Well, no, it's not technically a tax, but it may as well be.
Mm-hmm.
You call it what you want.
It is a tax. It's a tax on American businesses. It's just that those businesses then pass it along to us.
So the press secretary promised she would never lie to us.
Mm.
And I do challenge your economic knowledge. If you're going to sit up there in front of the AP and the world and sit there and tell us that tariffs are a tax cut for the American people and the American consumers. That is not true. That is a lie. And you promised you would never lie. I'll never lie. Brian from MKE, you're up. Welcome, Brian. What do you got?
Hey, guys. I've been thinking with the tariffs and all that. It's kind of funny how, I mean, I understand tariffs and I didn't go to law school,
right,
you know, but the thing is, I think about like during Black Friday, when before Black Friday, in the middle of November, the CEO of Best Buy said, well, because of proposed tariffs that are going to be coming down the line, we're increasing our prices now. So does that mean that the $500 TV that I was going to get for $400 is not going to go back up to $500? So where's my savings? And then today, this morning, it's funny how Target, Walmart, and Costco made the announcement that, well, because of Trump's tariffs that are going into effect, we're going to have to increase our prices on most of our goods. And then I love how Canada slaps back and says, well, you're going to propose 25% on our electricity. Guess what? We're going to, slap you back with 50.
Yeah.
And they calculated out that for certain states, depending on where you live and depending on how much of Canada's electricity you get, that that's going to increase the average bill by about $100 a month.
Damn, Brian. Well, thankfully, Ford from Ontario has paused that. They are going to negotiate with the White House, which they should be doing anyway. Hell, it was the Art of the Deal author who renegotiated NAFTA to the USMCA. Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
Packers, Badgers, Bucks, and Brewers. Find your favorite team over the air on Civic Media.
Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News Radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Alba, and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Matt Nair on air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong. Just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Looking for the game? Find us over the air for sports coverage on Civic Media stations.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Stick around, top of the hour, Angela Lang, the executive director from BLOC, the Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, is going to join us. We're going to kind of preview what's going on with the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, talk about a little bit of the history and what some of that messaging is around that election. Angela wrote a nice piece over at Civic Media's Recombobulation Area. She's going to tell us all about it at the top of the hour. So looking forward to catching up with Angela. Hope you stick around for that as well. We got Jess Piaz working hard on the board. And we just played some sound of the White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt. Apparently took very, very personal the fact that this AP reporter would challenge her. Again, we're not going to have to play it. I'll just say it. Tariffs are a tax hike on foreign countries that, again, have been ripping us off. Tariffs are a tax cut for the American people.
Wah, wah.
So, yeah, according to Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt. And we heard a little bit of that. Oh, you know, you're challenging my knowledge of economics. Well, yeah. When you don't know how to dribble a basketball, I kind of think you don't know how to play basketball.
A little bit.
I'm just saying.
A little bit.
I'm just looking at what you're providing me and making an assessment based on my knowledge of the game. It's not soccer, sweetheart. All right. But as mentioned here in the Raw story, writing up this piece from today, the Council on Foreign Relations and the World Economic Forum have said a tariff is a tax. And in fact, as the Century Foundation explained, most economists strongly disagree that a tariff will be passed on as a bill to the country of origin. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, in a previous life, I was working for a company that brought in containers of marble and granite from overseas, mm-hmm. from other brokers.
Oh,
and that was okay. we went direct, brought him in, and he had to pay the bill at the border. You know, we had a broker doing mm-hmm. the transaction mm-hmm. for us, but there it was. I mean, that's just how it was. And, you know, it didn't get paid to Italy or to South America, wherever we're bringing in the stuff. You know what I'm saying? It got paid to the government from us, you know, as the importer. We were the ones paying for this.
It's an import tax.
The Atlantic's Anne Lowry told Nicole Wallace this, quote, "So tariffs are taxes paid by American consumers. They raise prices for American businesses and American households. And American businesses and households were already suffering with high costs. You can see that in egg prices. You can see that in housing prices. You can see that in child care prices. The Trump administration promised to tackle the cost of living crisis, the cost of living crisis, and this is going to make it worse." Apparently, Nicole Wall played the clip, and she commented, quote, "I mean, she's awash in regret and remorse and offense, and she's either tragically uninformed or lying."
Mm-hmm.
There's no economist that's been tapped to sit in Donald Trump's cabinet who would testify under oath to what she said, quote, "Tariffs are a tax cut for the American people. Simply, the opposite is reality." The opposite is reality. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. But fear not. We have our own elected officials going to bat for us.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. if you're wondering mm-hmm. who I'm talking about, of course, our senior senator from the great state of Wisconsin, Ron Johnson. You know, he's very concerned.
What's Rojo doing
He's
for
concerned.
Us? He's concerned.
He's so concerned.
He's so concerned. He has lots of concerns.
Many, many concerns about many, many things, but not so much action.
Oh, so he's... thinking more, about the bat?
Very, very much so.
A lot of contemplation about, of the bat.
Yes, yes, yes. Of the concern. Mm-hmm. Of the very concern.
Mm-hmm.
Raw Story spoke. Easy for me to say. What is it, Monday? Raw Story spoke with Senator Ron Johnson, and he said he's concerned.
Didn't he say that last week?
Yeah. Look. The Canadians are nice people. They're great people. They're friends. They're allies. I hate to see this. When asked if he thinks things have gotten worse, have to get worse before they get better, Johnson said he didn't know. I'm not quite sure what the president's goal is here, said Johnson. He hasn't revealed that to me. Revealed it? Like a gender baby reveal? What are you talking about?
You cut it to the cake and you open it up and
blue.
What color's in it?
It's red, green.
It's orange.
Right. Instead, Johnson is turning to something he can control. Spending, spending, spending. There's not much I can do about this, he said of the tariffs, except express concern, which I do. And he knows my thoughts on this. He noted he continued to voice those concerns. Ah, thank you, Ron Johnson.
See, just like walking past the White House and just, I'm concerned.
So concerned.
I'm really concerned.
Really concerned.
And please listen to me.
It is a concern. Well, what are you doing about it, man?
Nothing.
Okay, you're concerned. This is an increase. This is an increase in tax. And it's not just on those specific goods, because let me tell you a little secret. When all of a sudden the price of a good goes up, and you're a domestic manufacturer of that good,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have to pay that, you know, it's cheap. Mm-hmm. Well, but you're not gonna keep offering your product at the same price.
Well, everyone else is bringing their prices up.
I mean, if something costs $8 and now the guys bring it in and cost $10, why would you continue to sell yours at $8 when you know the market? The other people got to pay $10.
Yeah, man.
So you're gonna force your get a little extra money. That's what you do. So it is inflationary, not just on the folks that are bringing it and have to pay the higher prices for, you know, for instance, Canadian steel. Because the local domestic manufacturers are not going to let that gap, that extra profit, just go to the consumer. Hell's to the no. If they raise their price to match the imported price, where are you going to go? You still got to buy the good. See what I'm saying? Opportunity cost, folks. 855-752-4842. All right, enough of the economics. And no, I think I'm a little bit better at it than Caroline Leavitt, but not much. Come back with us. Angela Lang, executive director from Block, going to talk about those Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Join us.
Listen to sports coverage from Mike Clemens on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska, sports director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clemens, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their community dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.